Okay, just for a quick thought, Joshua chapter 15. This is just an intro. Pastor Anil will do the main message tonight. Joshua chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 18. Joshua 15, starting at verse 18. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her donkey, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou, or what would you want?" And she answered, "Give me a blessing, for you have given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Okay. Now this is a portion that follows the conquest of Hebron. Before, it was not called Hebron. It was called Kiriath Arba, because of a man by name Arba that lived there, who was among the Anakims. And there were giants in the land. So what Caleb did was, Caleb said to Joshua that I could go and conquer this land. I was 40, now I am much older. My strength is in me as it was then. So Joshua blesses Caleb, and Caleb goes and drives the giants out and takes over the place and calls that place Hebron. Okay, Hebron. Hebron was one of the city of refuge also. Hebron means safety, the safety in fellowship, or fellowship, we can say. Okay, now later on, Caleb's daughter Aksa, this is also mentioned in Judges chapter 1 verse 15, comes to him, and the conquest has already happened. Caleb gets the victory. The Hebron land is belonging to Caleb now. His daughter comes to him and said, "Okay, Dad, you have given me a south land as a gift. Thank you very much. Now give me the springs of water also." Daughters can make those claims with dads, no? "You've given this to me. Thank you. Give this also to me." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now, this is a picture of grace. Because the war was fought by Caleb, and he won the victory. And there is a special blessing enjoyed by Caleb's daughter on account of the war that Caleb has won. Isn't that what grace is, you know? We can say here that for a believer, we receive freely what Christ has gained by his personal obedience to what love has purposed. Isn't it interesting? We receive freely the blessings associated with what Jesus Christ has personally gained with his obedience to the Father, and this is to what love has purposed. And that is really what grace is, and that is really the picture that we see here. You know, think about Christ when he was on the earth. And when the Father sent the Son into the world, and he was on a mission, the Son was on a mission, behind what Christ was called to do was the purpose of love of the Father. Isn't it? And this purpose of love governed, notice this purpose of love governed the Son's obedience. And what did it result in? Him going to the cross and dying for our sins and shedding his blood. And what did it result as a result of that? What was the outcome of it? We receive salvation as a free gift. So what Christ gained by his personal obedience to what love has purposed, we receive it freely as a gift. And this is really what grace is. You know, if there's one thing we can ask God to constantly show us is really the purpose of love behind what he has called us to do. This will really keep us in a place of being rightly motivated. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we are called to be co-laborers with Christ, isn't it? And the exhortation there is, we as co-laborers exhort you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, what God has called us to do, and I love what Pastor Shala said, we are constantly in this world of movement. Like, you know, we get up in the morning and we make a list. It is called the to-do list. And it's all about what we need to do, which is all right, there's no problem with that. But what God has called us to do, it is not works. Because if it is works, there is no meditation behind it. There is no rest of God behind it. There is not the aspect of learning to be still and knowing that God is God and that he is absolutely in control. But for what God has called us to do, we are called to receive grace for it. And I was thinking, how is it possible for us to receive grace? In what sense? In what sense are we called to receive grace for what he has called us to do? You know, now for this next 2 weeks, we have to receive grace to be still, isn't it? We have to receive grace to be indoors, which is maybe not our natural way of life. We have to receive grace to stay back and just quieten down. I think the best way or the secret behind receiving grace is to ask God to connect us to the purpose of love. If we are connected in our hearts to the purpose of God's love for us, that is, in another way to put it, receiving grace for what God has called us to do. Isn't that amazing? You know, this, I believe this is a deep time to contemplate for each one of us. It's a deep time to contemplate the purpose of God's love for us. You know, we can sit back and just consider the fact of a great salvation that we have. You know, what a gift. Christ won the war, right? He won the battle. And we have received freely, and that gift of salvation became the evidence of the purpose of love of the Father. The Father's love for you and I was so great that the Son was willing to come and die for us. What a way the purpose is realized through that gift of salvation. A time to sit down and maybe contemplate, like, God, who are you? What have you done for me? Who am I in you? And what is it that would be required in the long run in terms of your calling in my life? And to have the rest and peace of God with all these things is never to be disconnected from the purpose of love. So if we are called by God to do something, what the blessing that God would command to us because of obeying him is still a blessing of grace. But for that, to understand that as a blessing of grace means what we are called to do is connected to the purpose of God's love for us. If it is disconnected from the purpose of love and we are still doing what God has called us to do, then it will turn out to be works. It can turn out to be a form of human integrity. And then ultimately it can result in a spirit of self-exaltation. And because it is outside of the path of grace, it can eventually incline itself in the direction of evil someday. But thank God, the purpose of love keeps us in that place of constantly being reminded of who Christ is in our life. That is why anything that God has called us to do is never too much. It is never too much because, like, you know, the Father called the Son and he was on a mission. In one sense, it was never too much for the Son to do it because Son was not under a works program before the Father. He was deeply entrenched and connected with the purpose of Father's love for the world. And as a result of that, even if his obedience led him to the cross, that was okay with him because the purpose of the Father's love governed the heart of the Son and it resulted in a blessing. So with what we are called to do, if the purpose of God's love behind that is what is governing us, it is going to result in a blessing for someone else to freely receive. And this is the best way our lives bless someone else. Isn't it? Someone invested in my life and I have come to desire God today. Someone has invested in your lives, isn't it? And we have come to desire God and to walk with God. But since, so what was that blessing that we received? It was a blessing of grace because somebody's obedience was governed by the purpose of love. Now today, God would call us to be in the same place, in the same capacity to have the purpose of the Father's love govern us in what we are called to do so that the blessing we command upon another person in the body of Christ or anybody whom we meet will be a blessing that is associated with, in an application, totally the grace of God, the blessings of grace. So Christ obeyed the Father to what love had purposed and we receive freely the gift of salvation. Caleb fought the war and his daughter Aksa stands to receive something freely, all on account of what Caleb conquered and what Caleb acquired, right? In the same way, may the purpose of the love of God really govern us at this time. You know, there are many things in the world out there to discourage us, to get us to be disappointed. And then the immediate response that we have is we talk with our tongue, right? We talk a lot. We reveal our frustrations. And then, you know, it says life and death are in the power of the tongue in Proverbs chapter 18. But how about learning to rest in God and contemplate the season, the purpose of God's love for our lives, and be deeply immersed in that so that eventually what we are called to do will result in a blessing of grace upon someone else. Amen. So I like what Aksa said. She understood grace. You took Hebron, no? And you gave me Southland. She didn't say, how much do I need to pay you for that? She didn't say that. You gave me the Southland, no? So give me the springs of water also. What's that? You know what? That is contrary to human thinking. It's called grace. Grace is very alien to the natural mind. We almost say, oh my God, God has given me all the blessings. So God, how can I pay you now? No. He who works, the reward is not reckoned of grace but of debt. Aksa did not have that problem. She said, Dad, you, Hebron is ours and you have given me the Southland. Very good, now give me the springs of water also. You know, we can be daring enough. If the purpose of the love of God is governing us, we can be daring enough to ask Him things that may look very unnatural to the unsaved person because we know who we have believed. And if in some measure we are called to co-labor, so be it, because if it's the purpose of love governing us, it's eventually going to result in a blessing of grace upon the others through whom we come in contact. We are not going to spread corona, but we are going to spread the blessings of grace that has come through the purpose of love. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts, and thank you that your love for us, you just didn't love us and then allowed things to unfold the way it is. Your love had a purpose. And therefore your son was sent into the world. That same purpose governed the son's obedience in his relationship with you. And today we stand to receive freely the blessing associated with that amazing obedience that the son had toward you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And we just pray, Lord, that you deeply teach us this special truth and just really have not just be in the place of being loved by you, which is important, but also the purpose of love governing us and what we are called to do, resulting in manifestation of a grace blessing on others. We thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. And bless the remainder of our service now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, so we'll take the offering. All right, so today is a physical offering. Next Sunday and next Wednesday, next two Wednesdays will be a donate button. Just go online banking, whatever. Okay, so give by faith and let's honor God with our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, check. Okay, good evening, everybody. Yeah, let's turn to Psalm 46. It is a beautiful song, worship, prayer, message. Beautiful, yeah. This feels like the Last Supper. Yeah, so I've been just thinking about these thoughts. Yeah. So Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Father, we pray you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the message. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a psalm by Korah, and we really don't know what is the background of the psalm. Most people say it could be 2 Kings 18 and 19 with King Hezekiah, Sennacherib coming in, but we cannot say for sure. But it doesn't matter what the background was, but the person who wrote it, he understood that God was their refuge and God was their strength. You know, today as we are here, God is our strength. The world cannot say that. And that is why in the current situation, the world is anxious, the world is scared, the world is fearful. But we can say this, that God is our refuge and God is our strength and a very present help in trouble. The Hebrew brings out that He is immediately present to help us in trouble. There is no delay. There is absolutely no delay. And because of that first verse, we can say the next two verses. Therefore, we will not, what? Fear. Come on, smile everybody. You don't have it yet, right? And even if you get it, you don't have to worry. The maximum thing which will happen is you will die and go to heaven early. So don't worry about it. God is greater than the virus, right? So God is our refuge and strength, a very what? Present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. There is no fear for us because whatever happens, even though the earth is removed, and the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, and its waters roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with its swelling. There is no fear for us. And then there is Selah. Selah is a pause. What is it? It's a pause. It's a musical pause. In this context, we have to think about it. And God is going to give us 2 weeks to think about it. Right? Next. Verses 4, the next section is, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Right? There is a river. Now we see that God is spoken of as if being a river. So we see here, water was very important. And in a siege, if the Jerusalem was sieged from outside, water supply was important. And God is compared here to that supply. So what is our first point? God is our strength. What is our second point? God is our supply. God is our supply. And He is like the water. And water is symbolic in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, 37 to 39. He that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow waters. Right? Living waters. Right? Talks about the life of the Holy Spirit. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And the nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. That means God can speak and he can silence the enemies of Israel. What does this mean to us today in the New Testament? That when you and I believed in Jesus as our Savior, we were given the Holy Spirit as a gift. And we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Right? And we have a supply which is never ending. Right? Our current situation cannot stop God's supply to us. Right? It is a spiritual supply. It is an invisible supply. It is an internal supply. And no matter what turbulence happens in the nations, God can speak and He can settle the whole thing, right? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts talks about the covenant God who is the head of all the armies is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge or strongholds, Selah. The next section we see, come behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold. It is talking about how in the Old Testament, God was able to destroy the enemy. When God took the Israelites out of Egypt, he destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Right? Right? It was a desolation. It was a destruction. Right? Their chariots and everything got drowned. He was able to destroy. And they couldn't touch them anymore. Right? And we see here that throughout their Old Testament history, we see that God would fight for them. If you see 2 Kings 18 and 19, God sent an angel, wiped out the enemy army. God would fight for them. Right? And he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This has happened several times in Old Testament history. God was exalted among the nations when he brought them out of Egypt. Many nations heard about it. In the time of Solomon, Solomon's kingdom was the topmost. There was peace. God was exalted. People came to visit Solomon, right? And many times in Old Testament history we see this. And this is also a verse which talks about the future. In the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus will be exalted, right? Right? It will happen. He will break the bow and cut the spear, and there will be millennial peace for 1,000 years. It's also talking about the future. What we learn here is to be still before God. And the word be still here means to relax. What is it? To relax. If you exercise, you do a set and then you relax. If you're working, you work 9 to 5 and you come back home and you relax. You let go. Be still and know that I am God. Right? Right? Be still and know that I am God. Learning to be still, learning to be quiet before God, you know. That is what we are going to learn the next 2 weeks, being still before God. And then it says in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. King James says refuge. But a good word is the NASB. In the Hebrew, it means a stronghold. It was like a high cliff, an impregnable fort. Right? So God is our, firstly, strength. Number two, God is our supply. Let us learn to be what? Still before Him. And what is the fourth thing? God is our stronghold. God is our stronghold today. Right? So, what are we going to do for the next few days? I was thinking, the first thing we are going to do is take some physical rest. Right? Sleep a little more, right? All of us have been running from early in the morning to late in the night. Get some physical, what? Rest, right? Two to three hours of commute to the office is out now, right? Right? Get some physical rest. The second thing would be, is to be alone with God. That's a Genesis 32 principle, Genesis 32, 24. Jacob was alone with God. Being alone with God, a time of personal meditation, a time of reflection, a time of looking to God and asking Him, okay, God, what are you speaking to me in this season? What can I learn from you? Examining our hearts before God, right? Examining our hearts before God. The third thing we can do is, this is beautiful, family time, right? Sit with your wife, sit with your kids. You can read the Bible for some time, pray. You can simply talk to one another and listen to one another, right? This is a great time for marriages to come closer. If there's some distance between husband and wife, you can come closer. Physical distance is 1 meter, but spiritually we can what? Come closer. What else? I think this is definitely going to teach us how to value things. And I've been thinking about it, how to value things. The simple, beautiful things about life, like shaking a hand, hugging somebody, right? Breathing. With sneezing in freedom, coughing in freedom, being close to somebody, working together, and doing the normal things we normally do has been taken away from us. So much so that now meeting in church also has been taken away from us. You know, we learn to value things when something is taken away from us. Right? And this would be a good season to examine our hearts. You know, yesterday, Pastor Chris and I, we are searching for a place for our Koromangala church. We had to move out of the previous place. And it is the same old thing which I've done all my life in Goa. Go here, go there. What is the rent? What is the deposit? What is the location? Etc., etc. And I was just thinking today, God has given us a beautiful place. Amen? After many years of prayer, right? Right? Do I value it? God has given me the body of Christ. Do I value each person? Right? This is very important for for us to consider the value of things in our life. Right? The fifth thing we can do is we can pray. I would encourage you, if you are led of God, to have times of prayer. Praying personally, thanking God for what He has done, interceding for the nation, interceding for all countries, praying. You know, I have prayed for India for many years. I'm sure you also have prayed. And I've also prayed for China. I prayed for God to do something, because sometimes when we go out with the gospel and people don't hear and don't give heed, you know, today God has gotten the attention of everybody. Right? Today this verse has happened in principle. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Prime Minister himself said that science has no cure for this disease and there's no vaccine for this disease. That means all people must look to somebody greater, who is God Himself. Amen? We have to look to Him. So let's pray. If God leads you, fast and pray. Right? And the last thing I want to say for today is this. And I was thinking about this. Many times we focus on salvation, we focus on sanctification, walking with God. But many times we never focus on the Lord's coming. And that is a very integral teaching in the New Testament. In the communion, do as often as you do it, do until He comes. 2 Peter 3:10. The Lord's coming is like a thief in the night. Right? So are we ready to go to heaven? We are all going to heaven. Don't mistake that. Because of faith in Christ. But are we ready for it? Right? And remember, when the rapture happens, it's going to be like this. Look at me. And there's no choice. Right? In the twinkling of an eye. Microsecond. Be gone. Are we ready for it? Or will we say, Lord, please, I have some issues to deal with. I have some unforgiveness issues. I have some attachment to possession issues. I have some issues. Please, can you just hold it for a while? This would be a good season to think, are we ready? And if you really think, you know, the New Testament writers, when they wrote it till 100 AD, and they were expecting Jesus to come then. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is waiting because He wants everyone to come to repentance. But we never know when is the time. So are we ready to go? Or am I attached to something? And if you examine your heart and you're ready to go, you know what will happen? God will become all in all in your life. From the first to the last. Correct? Nothing can stop us. Okay, Lord, we are ready. Anytime. Anytime. Right? So in closing today, you can look at this virus in a negative way, which is any person who comes in contact with it can get it. They've done a study. One person can infect 2.6 people, maybe in a day. And in a couple of days, that one person can multiply and touch 35,000 people. That's the negative side. But look at the gospel. Every person who comes in contact with you can get not infected, but can be touched with the gospel of Christ and can have eternity for heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Every person in this 7 billion world. And that is the privilege God has given us. So in conclusion today, God is a refuge. And God is a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore what? We will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for all those who have come. Thank You for ministering to us and for speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.